Blog Talk Radio.
Time is taking flight. Now we have to tell if it's worth the fight.
To the weekly conversation on the Crown. What a wonderful program we have this week. This week on the conversation, my thoughts on the Communist News Network's Republican presidential debate. You can call it the Clinton News Network, whatever. They're so biased, it's not even funny. Also, with all the GOP candidates that women were voting for, and what, I mean, look, they're backsliding, fighting against each other. But okay, let's say Hillary Clinton can't run for president because of this email scandal. They can't have a Democratic debate because the only other person effectively running is a communist, aka socialist, which is a difference. Also, is war actually when you topple over like dictators, does that actually help the outcome, or can it hurt the outcome? I'll get into that. And also, the Republicans shut down again. Yeah, I don't know. It's always going to be the Republicans' fault. And this is what they need to do this time. I'll get to it because I was thinking a lot about that work. And also, tomorrow, in about 17 hours away, kickoff of the 2015 Rugby World Cup streaming with my thoughts as we move forward. Welcome to the program. And remember, Revelation chapter 3 says, "Behold, we serve a God that opens doors that no one can shut. He shuts doors that no one can open. Behold, I have placed for you an open door that no one can shut. I know you have a little strength. You have kept my word and not denied my name." Think about that as you go through your day today. And welcome to the program. And thanks for tuning in for all the listeners out there. It's been a crazy couple days. Because, I mean, I don't understand these debates in terms of, because they go back and forth and back and forth, and I actually never, but this is what I think is really true going on, is they're saying when Trump is speaking his mind, whether he believes it, whether it's real or not, people are like, yeah, I like this guy. Because I love what, like Chris Christie, he 199% against cannabis, and if he became president, he would be instantly like going after California, all these states where his recreation legal, he'd be going after them to shut them down to, you know, because he's against that. But he was in the debate, basically, you know, who cares about your accomplishments, Donald Trump or Carly Fiorina? Americans don't have jobs. And I'm like, well, is he for real, or is he just, well, since Donald Trump is being very, you know, out there and boisterous and speaking his mind, whether it's the truth or not, people are like, yeah, maybe if I just say, wait a minute here, maybe if I do some of that, maybe people will, like, you know, take, hey, look at this Christie guy, hey, he might, you know, maybe he's trying to be very, I think they're all trying to, well, cash in on what Trump's started. I mean, for years we've seen talk, but no little walk. I mean, I don't want to get into this because it's been on Sean Hannity's talk about this and some other people talk about this. I've even gotten into this where is it Obama or do somebody have, because I remember John Boehner says, we need to repeal Obamacare. We need to do this. As soon as he was Speaker of the House and could have done it, he goes, well, Obamacare's lay of land. I guess that's the way it's going to be. He didn't have a backbone in the world. Do they have something on some of these key Republicans that they won't stand up? I think they took their spine away. But I want to read something that says the truth. Okay. 239 years ago, our fathers told the kings of England, to kiss their asses. It's about time we rise up in this country and tell these people the same thing. And I guess that's what I'm trying to do, is wake people up, because last night, Carly Fiorina, I can't pronounce her last name because that's stuck. That's why I'm glad I'm not a teacher, because I'd be bad with names. I'd be like, okay, your name is gonorrhea? No, it's genoria. Oops. Okay, Vaseline? No, that's Vaseline. See, I'm bad with names, so just bear with me with names. But she was like, you know, if you want to stump a Democrat, ask them to name an accomplishment of Hillary Clinton's. Well, I'll put it to you this way. Name an accomplishment of Barack Obama before he became president. He didn't have one. But these people, and I would love to get on Hannity's show to ask him this question. Okay. You could have Sean Hannity, you could have MSNBC have video footage of Hillary Clinton walking up and killing 7 unarmed Americans point blank, and there are people that would still vote for her. You know, how do you change the person that's going to vote for Hillary no matter what? You know, so what's your accomplishment? I don't know, but I'm still going to vote for her. I mean, they've actually done that on, Bill O'Reilly's show. Waters World's actually gone around and asked, can you name an accomplishment of Hillary Clinton? And they'll still vote for her, but they can't name one. And I just want to reiterate, Hillary Clinton didn't point blank kill. I'm just using it as a hypothetical story. She could, no matter what you tell them about her or can prove, I can show you all the evidence in the world that shows that Obama's Social Security card, birth certificate, and all that stuff is so fake, but I have people that still will never believe me. But all I have to do is say, well, George Bush, man, he was in with the terrorists on 9/11. Oh, yeah, he was. What do you mean he was? I just said it. You're taking my word. Here's proof, and you won't even take it. So some of it was, they just go back and forth. The Democrats were like, we're going to take one person, we're going to take Hillary Clinton, and why backfight? We'll just let her instantly cruise, let them fight, and let them do what they're going to do, and I'm just going to try to, you know. I mean, why don't we come together, if you are a true Republican, and stand up against the established, well, they can't because, hell, a lot of the Democrats are in the established government, just like a lot of the Republicans. There's a lot of Republicans that are that, in name only. They're technically a progressive liberal. And they're not going to, I'm trying to think of the guy's name. Oh, man, He was the biggest defector in the tobacco wars. And when he became the VP of Research and Development, he basically didn't want to leave the job because he was making like $450,000 a year. And I'm drawing a blank on it. And my point is, he came up, and when he's like, wait a minute, he was looking at, he goes, this is not debatable. This is a carcinogenic ingredient. This causes cancer, period. There's not even a debate about it. And when they knew he wasn't going to go along with, okay, let's see what we can add to this to make it even harder to quit and even easier to get hooked, and, you know, he finally was basically excommunicated from big tobacco, and, you know, he was a huge knife in the side of the tobacco companies during the 93 tobacco wars. It was a project called, Jeff Wigand was his name, and it was a project called Project Y1, and they were genetically modifying a tobacco that had a twofold nicotine content, which, because they knew it was the addictive property. My point is, there may be people that want to change, but then they say, hey, you know that private Learjet you drive everywhere and all the stuff your family has and all the stuff you have? You want to give all that up? And, they, you know, well, no, not really. You know, having a guy drive me around in a Cadillac limousine and having a $600 million private Learjet to fly anywhere I want to and do whatever I want and vacation home, you know, some of them I don't think want to give up that lifestyle. You know, it's a turncoat mafia. Eventually, we got to stand up and treat them like we treated the British. I want to see, because I asked this one time at the voting booth, where is it none of the above? I guess because I'm one of these people that some people don't get it. Because, yeah, but okay, my wife just asked me, she could see me doing that, but what if you don't like either of the candidates? Anyone cannot vote. How is not vote showing that you don't want to have either candidate?
Mm-hmm.
I didn't like John McCain. I didn't like, well, he's a progressive. So you would have had a progressive in there either way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, at least Barack Obama, I think, is waking people up to, because he put it in like fifth gear and he's going 5,000 miles an hour in the same direction that John McCain would have went, but he would have been going 10 miles an hour. So you wouldn't have noticed it. Barack Obama put us in fast forward. I mean, I didn't really want Mitt Romney, but he's 100% better than Barack Obama, but he's still wrong. I mean, I guess my point, I've said this many, many times, is you have two wrongs. I mean, how do you vote if you have to choose between this candidate that's wrong and that candidate that's wrong? It'd be neat to see how many people would actually stand up and say, I'm not going to vote for either of them.
Mm-hmm.
And that would probably just be the 1% or 2% that would be, it would end up in my belief in the system where if you vote for an independent, that's a vote that's going to help the Democrat because it would have went to the Republican anyways.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they didn't talk anything about veterans. I was hoping, and Donald Trump asked that, but I was hoping more of this, okay, what about the veterans? When Barack Obama took office, George Bush's administration gave him, this is a laundry list of things that's going on at the VA that needs to be fixed. Oh, let's say you don't think George Bush did enough to fix this stuff at the VA. That's fine, but Barack Obama hasn't fixed it either. You know, if you complain about how much, because they went back and forth about, well, Barack Obama's done all this golf and then George Bush did all this and two wrongs don't make a right. And I think, this debate was, I want to watch them because I'm that political nerd. I love that kind of thing. But it's gotten to the point where it's like, who watches the State of, like, who believes the State of the Union? I mean, like, Glenn Beck actually did, like, a Mystery Science Theater with it the one year, and it was hilarious.
The best State of the Union speech I've ever heard is Ronald Reagan.
Yeah. That's the problem. People don't really get into the debates that much because they hear the same old rhetoric. I don't want to see a debate. I want to see talk. I want to see the walk. You know, you see talking at the debate. I want to see the walk. I want to see term limits for congressmen and senators. That will never happen. I want to see MSNBC treat Republicans the same as Democrats. That's never going to happen. They're not a news network if they have an agenda. Just watch the Young Turks on the internet. They're a news network kind of thing, sort of like The Blaze or what Alex Jones does with like Prison Planet and all that stuff. The one guy was on it, on MSNBC for a while, and he was ridiculed for calling out Republicans and Democrats. And it's just ridiculous. I don't get it. I don't know. You could sit there honestly and say, well, why don't you have a certain amount, like, okay, well, the Republicans like Democrats can't enter the campaign until they have at least 10 legitimate candidates. I mean, could you see that? I could see something like that happening. They make the Democrats have 10 candidates, legitimate, and make them go out and campaign. But make it real. Make, okay, give every candidate like $200,000. That's what you get to campaign with. When you're out of money, you're out of money. And do it like a reality show. Okay, if you don't have money.
You don't like reality. You say it's all scripted. Oh,
I know. I know. But I'm just saying, you know, make it at least, and then people might watch. Reality is like the biggest thing. Then people might watch it. Who knows? But then, you know, it'll probably end up be like that show Caitlyn or whatever, the new Bruce Jenner show that like no one watches anyways. But I don't know. I guess to me, I've never understood reality because I live my life. I don't want to watch someone else's life. You know, if I want to see someone in their bedroom talking about themselves as they're getting dressed and in their cars or driving, I don't want to see that crap. You know, I live my life. I want to, you know, the last thing I want to do is watch someone else's life. Enough said on that. But I want to move on to something that, like, there's a lot of people that say that you can say what you want about Saddam Hussein, but he kept ISIS from spreading. If he was still there, he was not a great man. Because of his regime and stuff, ISIS was not able to expand. And I can see that point where some people say, like even Glenn Beck talked about it one time, and I've looked into it, and I don't like Saddam Hussein, but, you know, he may have kept the spread of ISIS in this totalitarian dictatorship. You know, I mean, as I talked about with this Iran deal, you know, I'm gonna X the deal immediately, and you know, we need to sit there and we need to have, okay, yeah, we're gonna keep the deal, but we're gonna make it to where we can go to any site at any time with our own inspectors real time, and we're gonna be able to look at anything. And hey, if you don't, we're gonna make it so hard for you to. You know, that's what I liked about Carly Fiorina. She had actual, this is my plan. This is what I want to do. She already had ideas. No one else had any. Well, you know, I'd cut the thing up. Okay, we'll cut it up. Then what are you going to do? She at least said, this is what I want to do. We're going to sit there. We'll keep a deal, but the deal is going to be, we're going to be able to take in our own inspectors and go in any facility at any time and at any moment's notice. And if we find stuff, we're going to make it so hard for you to do anything. We're going to, you know, she actually had solid plans. I liked it. So, but still, there's a lot of, I see a lot of, well, how can I one up Trump? That's, you know, I mean, that's what I saw last night. How can I one up? Well, if Trump's doing all this stuff and he's got a king, how can I throw an ace out there? And that's basically what I saw, you know, as I watched that debate, and I actually stopped for a half an hour so I could watch South Park. I love that show, but, you know, but then I went right back to watching the debate, and it was just like more this, I mean, it was near the end, and, you know, and I'm just trying to wave through a lot of the BS, I think. Not necessarily BS, but it's just, I guess you can call it that, but it's like, I kind of feel like, well, because Trump, you know, sat there and said, hey, we need to do something about this. And he took on controversial issues. Now you got, last night you got Chris Christie going, well, who cares what you did? And who cares what you did? And you did? Who cares about your accomplishments? The American people want to know where their jobs are. You know, like, well, I'm just going to say something. I'm just going to put a big controversial, you know, and everything. I'm sure you could find 50 things negative about every one of those candidates, and you could find 50 things positive. So, You know, are the 50 things negative outweigh the 50 things positive?
I don't know.
It's just, it's crazy. You know, it is. And as we move on, I just wanted to remind you all, it's National Truck Driver Appreciation Week. Thank all you truckers out there. My dad drives semi. He works for a truck company, and it's just, you know, what he does, he works around the clock sometimes, and he'll work all day and then drive a dump body or a semi or something somewhere for somebody. So next time, just be cautious around them. And if you ever wonder why we flash the bright lights at night, is like when if the semi is going around us, they can't tell if they passed us. So when you flash your high beams, it lets them know that you're far enough in front of us so that they can pull over. So that's, you know, if you're ever going down the road and like a semi passes me at night and I flash my high beams, that's to let him know that he's cleared me so that he can pull over. I've actually had to do that in like an on-ramp when there's like four cars coming and the semi had to get over like that, and I turned on my high beams and let him know he was clear. And, you know, you can tell he is thinking, that was God, put me in the right place at the right time, because most people wouldn't know to do that. And, you know, and if you're not clear and he pulls over, bam. So just thank a trucker. It's National Truck Driver Awareness Appreciation Week. It's amazing what I talk about on the program, but I guess that's why I have a wide range of listeners, because, you know, I talk about all kinds of stuff. But then my wife is the one that'll be like, man, what do you, because I have all these little tidbits of like facts and stuff, and you go, where do you find all this stuff? And it's called Uncle John's Bathroom Reader Institute. It's one of the few books that I've read 90% of, because it's all like at the bottom of every page they have like a dumb little fact, you know, and they're little like factoids. Like there's a baseball one like where there's like 200 baseball players have hit a home run at their first time at bat and then never hit another one afterwards. I forget what the number was, but it gives you like facts like that. Like I forget how many people on their major league debut have hit a home run, but then some of them played like 5-6 years and never hit a home run after that. So it's just, I don't remember because I haven't read it in a while, but I'm into all that fact stuff, because we actually went to the Money Museum on our honeymoon, and that was cool, because I got to show Melissa some things about, you know, like rarity eight. I mean, they had some that were like where there's like one or two or three at max, and you're looking at one of possibly, it might be the only coin out there, and they're at max, there's only two others that they know. And it's just kind of neat, and I've always been a factoid person. I always liked the football tidbits and stuff. And yeah, that's why my wife loves me. When am I going to shut down? Because this is kind of like a debate talk. And this is what we as independent GOP people need to do. We need to sit there and we need to get on like MSNBC and say, this is what we're going to do. We're going to cave to the Democrats. We're going to provide funding for a company that sells baby body parts so that we can keep the government going. Because the Democrats want to fund Planned Parenthood that takes and sells babies' body parts. They try to get the baby as far along as possible before they cause the abortion. That way they can save the body parts and sell them on the black market. And we support... We're caving into that. We don't agree with that, but we're going to cave into that to keep the government from shutting down. We need to sit there and flip the coin on them. Make them be the bad guy. Hey, we don't want to shut down. We don't want to fund Planned Parenthood because they're selling baby body parts, but so that we don't look like the bad guys, we're going to cave to the Democrats and do that. Because, hey, then the Democrats are going to have to defend why you're funding Planned Parenthood in this budget thing to keep the government going.
government stuff.
Yeah, you know, shut down the IRS, do a flat tax. I mean, shut the government down. What are they doing for us anyways? All they're doing is padding their own pocketbooks. I mean, they don't want term limits. I mean, there's, you know, just, but, I mean, I think, I don't know, but it'd be a way, I think, to get the, because somehow they're going to blame Republicans. But if they say, hey, we're going to cave to the Democrats and support baby body parts selling, there you go. You know, we don't want to, but, you know, see, but if we don't pass this budget, we're going to get blamed. So instead of us getting blamed, you need to ask the Democrats why they want to fund a company that sells baby body parts. Because that's what we're caving to. Because that's the one thing that we don't want to have in the bill to keep the government going that they want to keep in the bill. But just remember, folks, we only have 419 more days until Obama's out of office. Thank God for that.
His party doesn't have.
But then, I mean, who's, yeah, but then what's, but then who are we going to have? Yeah. No, but, I mean, I just, wow. There's about 32 minutes left in the program, folks, and I want to thank you all for tuning in, as always, and, you know, and I was hoping, besides Donald Trump, someone would have said, why wasn't there one question about problems with the VA? If I was a candidate, I would have said, well, you could say that maybe George Bush didn't do enough to help the VA, and he gave a list of stuff to Obama's administration before he left, the issues and the wait times that were happening. You can say, Brock, that Bush didn't do any of that, that he may have lacked some, but where was Barack Obama? Why didn't he step up? I mean, people don't listen. I mean, you never ever really see that on news. You know, you never see, like, well, you know, they always argue, well, he did this and he did that. And he tells me, no, he didn't. Yes, he did. 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 But when is someone going to stop and say, yeah, I did catch you. Yeah. Okay, let's move on. You know? Why can't, okay, you could say George Bush didn't do this, but then Barack Obama hasn't done anything to fix it. You know, if the only argument you have is, this is what the other side did or hasn't done. You know, if it's negative, they've done it. If it's positive, they haven't done it. And that's all you can say. You haven't said, well, this is how this person tried to fix the situation. You never hear that. You never see it. But, hey, you know, it's a never-ending circle. You know? It's sort of like those carnival games that are rigged. They sit there and they have like a bowling pin and they have a baseball or softball and you throw the softball and it has to come back and knock over the bowling pin. And the guy shows you, he moves it a little bit off center. And when the thing swings up and comes back, he knocks the bowling pin over. But when you do it, he puts it on center and the pendulum is right exactly underneath that bowling pin. So no matter how you throw it, no matter what you do it, the way the pendulum swings back and forth, that ball will never ever be able to hit that bowling pin. So you can sit there for 50 million years, and as long as it's in that one spot, you're never going to be able to knock over that bowling pin. But how did that guy at the carnival do it? Because he moved it to the side. That's what the government is. They just, they're set up to where they're just arguing and fight, but they're still winning. You're still losing. You know, I loved when they, you know, we need to have more rallies. Have a rally just to have a rally to stand up. And say, hey, enough's enough. I'm tired. You know, I guess I look at someone like Rick Harrison, you know, and he's Peter Fonstar, and he's like, you know how much my insurance has gone up and my employees? You know, I have a cousin who owns a dental shop. They lost their insurance. Oh, Obamacare is so great. It could just be a coincidence, but on my meds, when I was on before I went through the hell to wean myself off my medications I was on, you know, and slowly got myself off them, they were going up and up and up. But then I was tired of being treated like a criminal because, okay, you know, because you have to be on these certain medications. And then I've heard people that talk about, and I said this about 2 months ago, but there was a thing about Walgreens where some people went in there and they said, well, I don't think you need that Vicodin, so I'm not throwing it. And they tear up the script and it's like, you know, how can they do that? How is it? You know, if the doctor says, okay, you had knee surgery, you need this Percocet, how can they say, I don't think you need it? How, I don't know. But then I guess they have, they can get in trouble. How can they get in trouble if they're following a script that's specifically written for this person from this doctor, you know? And it's all verified. I mean, if this were like the 25th prescription this guy has written today for this, and that's, you know, if bells are going off, then, hey, I think this is not legit because, you know, we're filling like 10 times more of this prescription than we normally do, then okay, but when, you know, that's not the case, you know, I don't know. I guess I just try to wake people up. I just try to. Best way I can describe. I saw the movie yesterday, The War Room. And let me tell you, you better have 10 boxes of Kleenex for that dang movie. Everyone in the country needs to see that movie. And it was funny for me because I am a Silver Baptist Pictures fan. I've seen every movie they've done. I remember when they first came out with Flywheel. And if you ever saw Flywheel, it had J. Austin Motors in it. And it was based off of a guy who gave his call out to the Lord that went to the church, and he ran it off the biblical principles. And you know, and the guy in the beginning of the movie was like a crook, and here's a $4,000 car, and they're selling it for like $8,000, and they make the guy think he's getting a great deal and all this, and then you grossly manipulated that lady. Well, you showed me how, and then he finds the Lord and all this stuff and changes, and they actually had like a plate of J. Austin Motors on one of the cars in the new movie War Room, and in that movie, and in Courageous, they used instead of, because they can't contractually use name brand products, so instead of doing honeycombs, they did Coney Bombs. And it's just, if you've seen all the movies, you'll see some things if you watch it that carefully that you'll remember from movies past and different things. And everyone needs to see that movie because it's just so, so powerful, because that's what we need to get this country back to.
Amen.
I mean, This country is just, I don't know. I guess I feel led to, like in that movie, that old lady, she was called to try to wake, educate, you know, help this person. And I just, I feel that way. I just feel led to like, hey, this is, I just want to educate the people. So, okay, I don't care if you vote for Hillary Clinton. I just want you to know about her. So, like, if you came back and voted, you could say, I voted for Hillary Clinton, and Barry Sanders was his running mate, and I think what his views are on socialism, I want that. Okay, well, at least you're educated. At least you know who the running mate is. You know, you're not just like, I'm voting for Hillary Clinton. I don't care. I don't know anything about it. I don't worry, whatever. You know, I don't care who you vote for. I just hope that you get educated.
Just don't
be an ignorant voter. You know, just don't, well, who'd you vote? I vote for Barack Obama. Really? Well, why do you think you chose Sarah Palin, man? Oh, you must be sexist, man. Sarah Palin's going to be a great vice president. She's going to do a good job. Okay. So you just told me, you just came out of the voting booth and you can't even tell me Barack Obama's actual running mate. You know, how, that's what we don't want. We want to have an educated vote her. And that's what I try to do. If I do it. If I don't, I don't expect everyone to believe 100% or I know I have people that don't agree 100% with what I have to say. But, you know, that's just how it is. But it's nice to see movies like this coming out. More and more movies are just like taking the status quo and, hey, you know what, you can do what you want. We're going to, you know, I think more people, and it's great when it's one of the biggest box office hits. And they're not doing this. Everyone that does a Shirley Baptist Pictures film, one of those films like Courageous, they're all volunteers. They all do it to glorify God. You know what I mean? If you go to a third world country, some of them don't have much, but they have a celebration of life. They get down. They have a good time. It's not about possessions. You know? I mean, how many people, my sister can sometimes will go, I remember when you had the computer and you had to do all this stuff and all these, you know, you had to do like, I remember the internet before pictures and everything and all. That is so obsolete. You know, I remember like people that can tell you all these codes and how to do stuff to get all these levels and stuff on these video games, and now what, they're obsolete, I'm around. But this is still is Jesus Christ. And I don't push my belief on anyone, because following Jesus Christ is a decision you have to make for yourself, and I can't make it for you. But I can't change who you are. I just would love to know, hey, you're a Democrat, that's great. At least try to know some of the, just have, like, okay, what's going on in the world? You know, that's why I will actually turn on MSNBC once in a while, seeing just to see what are they, okay, if this major event happens, like, let me see what they're saying. I want to see how they're spinning it compared to Fox or compared to CBS or NBC, just to see if there's any difference in what they were talking about or what they're reporting, or, you know, are they trying to say that, you know, this or that, or... And that's it. And that's the only reason why I do it, because I want to know what they're saying. Other than that, it's Lord help. We got about 21 minutes left in the program, folks. Wow. I don't know. I guess after my myopathy shows, you know, I just kept it going, you know. My support group is through the roof. And it's incredible. I want to move on now just to something that really got me. And I don't know if you saw any football fans out there that saw the Manchester United PSV match. You know, when you saw in the 14th, 15th minute when Luke Shaw was hurt, and I want to get into the updates in a little bit on that, but when you listen to the crowd and you see where it's like, you know, the game doesn't matter right now. His life matters. You know, the player that injured Luke Shaw, he'd have probably been the first one at the hospital. It was a mere accident. Things happen. That's why I love football so much, because, you know, they may be the biggest competitors on the field, but when it comes to an injured player, they are one team. And you can tell when Louis van Gaal was told, and I'm pretty sure they spoke in Dutch probably to him about Luke Shaw, and you saw that. You instantly saw van Gaal like, oh, like, you know, like, oh, Okay, Ryan Giggs, you need to manage a team. I want to be with my player. You know, he's that type of person. And it's just, it was just... Yeah. He is like, it's hard to see him, like, you rarely see him cheer, but he was phased. And the updates on Luke Shaw, I will read this here. This is a United issue Luke Shaw statement. Luke Shaw went under surgery on his injury on Tuesday night and will remain in the hospital in Eindhoven to continue his early recovery. Manchester United are grateful for the excellent care he is receiving and would like to thank everyone who has sent messages of support. A further update will be provided in due course. So they really aren't saying if it's his knee, if it's his shin, if it's his ankle.
It wasn't good.
It wasn't good. I believe it was like his ankle. But he really wasn't like grabbing anything. He was just like with oxygen, just like, you know, just hyperventilating. So, yeah, I think he was so overcome. I've had that, you know, when I got burned, I'm like, and that's one thing. If anyone out there can get on my page, conversation page, and comment on this, I want to know about this because I've had second and third degree burns from when I was blowing out a fire and I was out for like a month and a half, 2 months of work. They didn't do anything when I was in the ambulance, and as soon as they start going and they're bumping all over, that's when they're trying to put the IV in me. I don't know why they don't do all that stuff when you're not moving. But, you know, I don't know. It's just, you know, the loss was 2-1, and that just seems to not even be an issue compared to Luke Shaw. And it was an incredible game. And, you know, without Wayne Rooney, it's kind of hard. You know, the team stepped up as best they could, but without Wayne Rooney, it's really, really hard, you know, to try to take on. So, it's a good thing. I mean, you know, that everything just kind of stopped for the team. You know, when he had issues, you know, when Luke Shaw got injured, it was just refreshing to see, like, okay, that doesn't matter right now. What matters is, you guessed it, you know, the player. Now we're going to move on to, 17 hours away from England and Fiji in the kickoff of the 2015 Rugby World Cups. And if many of my fans know, I was there in 2007 in England, not in England, but in France. That was that's like seeing like Purdue and IU playing and Texas and Texas A&M playing and like Michigan. Notre Dame, Michigan State, all in one country. It's just, oh my, you know, we're 16th ranked. And, you know, the problem we have is our first game is on the 20th against Samoa, and we've never beaten them. We've played them 4 times and not won, but then you look at it, you know, England's never lost to Fiji, South Africa's never lost. I think South Africa plays, let me see who South Africa plays first. Yeah, they play Japan, and South Africa, I mean, South Africa is a great team. I expect them to win. Them or New Zealand's ranked number one, but I think South Africa has got a team to beat Ireland. I think New Zealand, South Africa, Ireland, or England, or Australia all have a big chance to take it home in the Rugby World Cups. You know, I think it's going to be, I love it. It's fun. I mean, it's hard to, because we're not really we're not really known as a rugby nation, so it's kind of hard to follow. But it's going to be neat to see which nation raises the Ellis Cup. And I think South Africa is going to do it. I think they're still having a lot of racial tension in that country, you know, where there's still issues of, you know, well, there's not enough black people on the team and da-da-da. And, you know, there's all this racial tension still in that country. And it's way better than it was because of Nelson Mandela and what he did. So, I mean, you got to thank Nelson Mandela for all he did to make that country where it is. But it's just been crazy. You know, when you look at that country as a whole, and, you know, when they won in 95, it was just incredible. And I love now that they're starting to get it to where with like a lot of these dish networks and these dish and satellites, they're making it easier to get some of this stuff. Because somebody asked me one time, so what do you follow Manchester United? Da, da, da. And I'm like, because they're like the Yankees of football. And I'm like, well, they were one of the few, because I always liked football / soccer, but they were one of the few teams I could actually follow on a consistent basis. I mean, even, you know, now it would be a little bit easier to follow, you know, the Wolves, Wolverhampton Wonders, or Leicester City, or
Liverpool.
Oh, yeah, my favorite, Liverpool. No, yeah. Or like, you know, like Newcastle United, you know, some of those teams would be. Oh, yeah, that's my favorite team. That's why I'm glad there's 16. But, you know, I could follow Manchester United probably more than any other team. And they were even hard to follow. But now with the internet and stuff the way it is, heck, you can sometimes see more games in the U.S. than you can in England just because of the way it's set up and stuff there. And I guess we all have our vice. I guess the World Cups are like rugby and football and stuff. It's just a way to get, I guess that's, you know, it's like football for like a lot of men is their time to get away, you know, just get away from life and get away from things and have their moment in the room and just watch, you know. And I think it's good. I think we all need that little thing that we're into and, you know, and I think I like the World Cup and the Rugby World Cup because I think it brings nation together because you may disagree on everything, but it's your nation that's playing and you want South Africa to win or Ireland or Fiji or Samoa or whatever. You know, you all just like put all your petty, you know, I'm Donald Trump and da-da-da and, you know, put it aside, you know. I wish people can put money aside for the betterment of the nation, you know. Ronald Reagan loved to play golf. So when he was shot at and an innocent civilian almost was in the crossfire, how many more times did he play golf after that? I don't know. Let me see here. That'd be zero. Because
less than 10 times
on your journey. Yeah. My point is, you know, when are politicians going to start to put others ahead of themselves? Because they're not. Yeah, when there's term limits. You know, I love that movie, Distinguished Gentleman. That's great. You know, because it's Eddie Murphy, that's a con artist, and becomes a senator, and that's what really goes on. And I don't know. I just love because I'm just one of these people that just want to try to educate, so that you know, people. I want to educate because I just feel like, well, I like Ben Carson. I think he'd be decent, but do I know enough about him to vote for him yet? No, but I know a lot to know that he's honest. Hey, I would want to get people in here. Okay, I'm a surgeon. Okay, I know all about the brain, but I don't know about the foot. I need to have, because I believe there's a clot down in the foot that's messing with his brain. I'm going to get a foot specialist in here. And that's why I like him, because he seems like someone like, well, I don't know a lot about foreign policy, but I want to get someone in here that does know, that can help me, that can be I'll be the expert here. He can be the expert there. You know, just because you're a doctor and you do open heart surgery probably doesn't make you, I don't know, I wouldn't think it would make you qualified to be someone that does autopsies. Maybe you could be called in and say, hey, you know, I've never seen this. You work on hearts. Is this hard or regular? Yeah, you know, but I wouldn't think that I would think you would, you know, there'd be specialty differences between someone that does an autopsy and someone that does heart surgeries. And at least Ben Carson sounds like someone that would be that. That would be like, hey, this is where it is. This is, you know, hey, I'm not going to be perfect. I don't know a lot about this. I'm going to find people that can kickstart me. I mean, but then, you know, they'll say, well, look at how Ben Carson and his inexperience, no one would say that about Barack Obama.
Had none.
I want to do something that's kind of cool. This is my own. I actually have a whole book of poetry that I wrote, and this is something that I wrote. And I think it kind of makes sense to what I do, and why I have this show and everything. And it's from a book I started called The Life in the New Beginning in 1997. It's poetry. It's not about what's right or wrong, but what makes sense. It's ideas, beliefs, making the reader get into your readings, having him or her think about the words before them. Poetry, it's not about spending hours trying to get one perfect poem. What is a perfect poem anyways? It's what you feel, it's what you see, it's what you hear, it's what you believe. Poetry, it's life, it's thoughts, it's one's view of the world, like those aliens who come to observe us to see what we are and how we live. Poetry, without it, we only have a one-sided view, not the feelings and ideas from the minds of the many who write it. And I wrote that. Because, and I was going through my pages and I forgot I posted this, but I'm one view. There are many views. You know, you need to take, well, I like what Kyle said here, I like what this person said here, but what about this? What about that? You know, and if Donald Trump, if anything, makes us think, then he's done his job. He's at least waking up to think, well, he's at least at work. There are people I've never seen talk about politics. Well, did you hear what Trump said? You may not agree with him, but at least you're getting people to, you know, I remember the old days when you'd go into a coffee shop and there'd be people talking about Reagan. You know, and it was like not negative or positive. It was kind of like in between. So it's like, well, yeah, well, you know. And we need to get back to that. I'm not saying, you know, having an all-out brawl because you feel, you know. I mean, I've had that.
You can agree with Reagan, you weren't attacked like you are now.
Yeah. You know, now it's like, Lord help you. You know, I'm an Imperial Grand Dragon because I disagree with Obama. I've lost a friend over it. And it's like, I didn't really lose a friend because he's not a friend, because I would do anything for that man in a heartbeat. Color has nothing to do with it. But apparently, you know, it does, because he won't even, I don't get into it, but it's just, you know, it's nice to have people have, like, gentlemanly conversations and lady-like conversations about issues. You know, they're not, like, arguing, like, well, yeah, I kind of, like, I don't know. I mean, I like Trump, but, you know, at least he's getting people to maybe become aware, you know? And that's when I was going through my stuff on my Facebook page, you know, I saw that and I'm like, that's cool. Yeah, I have a whole bunch of them. I rarely share them with people because I've always been that, like, kind of laid back. You know, I'm that Neil Peart, I'm that reserved guy, I'm that, like, really shy person. You know, so, like, if I'm open with you, then you know that you can trust me because I'm just one of those, like Tammy, a friend of mine at work, we're just so close and we can almost tell each other anything, and, you know, and it's just like, you know, this is how I am, and I just started to write things down that just came to my head, and there was an old Japanese guy, I read an article where this, you know, the Japanese would feel insulted if you wrote an article about a car and mentioned the word car. You shouldn't have to say the word truck or SUV or dump body or something if you're writing an article. You know, you should be smart enough that when you write about it, they should be able to know what you're talking about. And I would take like an experience of like going to a rock concert. And I wrote a poem about like the experience of seeing a band you've never even heard of. Ladies and gentlemen, you know, Pearl Jam will be out next, but up first, the Whisker Biscuits. Who the heck are the Whisker Biscuits? You know, some of these bands are like, might be a local band that may get like, hey, the group that's on tour with them, you know, they had issues and they couldn't be here and they had to get someone on the fly, so they just picked up some local band and you're seeing some group that you never even heard of, and it's the Crispy Donuts. And like, some of them have been really bad, some of them have been good, you know, and it was just, it's just a way to kind of get away and just like, and I've always been one of those people that I try to be there for others. I mean, I guess I've never understood that, like when people, when things I do are a big deal, and I'm like, I'm just doing my job. Yeah, but you're the best puree person in, like, the Midwest out of all the facilities that Unidyne runs. I'm like, well, I'm just doing my job. I'm like, I mean, I'm just doing what I would want done to me. I just, you know, the movie, as I go back to it near the end, the war room, you know, he goes out and he fixes this guy that wanted to have him thrown in jail, you know, fixes his tire. And he goes, Dad, why did you help that man? He goes, because I'd want that to be done to me. Got about 90 seconds left, and, you know, as I leave you with this, treat others as you want to treat yourself, you know, point blank. You know, it's nice to see that for just that brief moment that there was more than just that football game that was important, that people actually were like, you know, but when I heard he was injured, I was like, it could have been a 10-0 loss. I wouldn't have cared. I'd have been like, okay, you know, like the whole time after that, when that IndyCar wreck happened, I'm like, you know, I just hope he's okay. I mean, I don't care what happens. The season means nothing more. The last race of the season, I don't care what happens. I just hope the driver's okay. And it's just, I guess I just try to educate people through this program, just, you know, because to me, we need to get back to doing the things that I do that I guess I don't think are that, like, holding a door for someone or saying yes, ma'am, or yes, sir. You know, the respect that we had, this nation needs it back. And I'm one person, but so was Jesus Christ. He was just one man. So until next time, next week, God bless you all. Good night. Have a great evening. God bless. I'm going to end the program.